Hello to all my friends at Game Fix. It's me, Mario. Woo-hoo.
Hey, it's Frank Grillo.
This is Roger Clark.
This is Master Daniel Piscina.
This is Lucy Pohl.
This is John St. John.
And you're listening to my favorite,
the Game Fix podcast.
Game Fix Show.
The Game Fix Show. Yeah, them boys, they're pretty funny.
If I have a sword and I'm just like, eh, like that, I'm not going to do anything. I will probably, it's just not going to work.
I mean, the one in Hollywood, it's only going to have the Bowser Mario Kart ride. They don't even have the Yoshi ride. So
I think it's the absolute stupid. I think you're cutting your nose off to spite your face. I think you're shooting yourself in the foot. I don't know how many cliches I can come up with, but it's just not good for the industry.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go crazy! Go crazy!
To a choppy intro of the Game Fix podcast. I am Spanish.
I'm Mike.
And I am Verlaine. Make sure to check out our website, gamefixshow.com, and the weekly stream of our weekly recorded podcast right here. If you're not, facebook.com/gamefixshow or twitch.tv/gamefix.
Yes. You'd mentioned the website, gamefixshow.com. A couple things you could find on the website are social medias, as well as our Patreon. Go ahead and click on that if you feel we are worthy of said monetary support. Please go do that. We would appreciate that so much because that's what keeps the show going. That's what keeps it on the air, as we say. We love doing this. We just love talking video games. That's why we're here. Hopefully you're in the chat room to talk video games as well, because video games is what we're going to talk about today. I feel like that was a run on anyway.
But I thought you're in, so I'm down.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you did, but that's fine. But that's fine. We'll get to a few things today. Obviously, I want to talk about the new Deadpool Wolverine trailer. And if any of you eagle eye mother bleepers notice some stuff, like I noticed some stuff as well. So it's pretty cool. We're gonna touch on some Fortnite. That sucks, but we will. of course, the game that everyone seems to realize exists this past week is Fallout. So we will get to all of that plus so much more. So all right, but let's talk about what we've been gaming. And I'll tell you what, I will go first this time. I've been gaming on some Helldivers too. Obviously, we definitely getting some rounds in there. It is still awesome. It's so cool, and I hear there's a little birdie that's telling us that it could end up on a console where Verlaine can actually enjoy it, which would be Xbox. So that would be I think I said from the beginning it was just a matter of time. I felt like it was going to happen, especially how popular it is.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Me too. I was thinking kind of the same
thing. Popular games, it's still like, yeah, didn't fucking matter.
Yeah, they'll make it free for Xbox players just to make you guys happy. No, that's not going to happen. Although it's only a $40 game for PlayStation, so I guess it would be the same price. So at least you got that going for you. I've been playing some Fallout 4. Imagine that. Imagine that.
2024.
Yeah, right. And it's still awesome. I realize there is a lot of stuff that I've missed out on because I lost a save file. I think I went over this last week.
Yeah.
And man, like there was so much that I've done that I was like doing again, which is not the end of the world. It's fine. I mean, Fallout almost was the end of the world. But so far so good. It's fun. I love playing the game. It's just I'm actually waiting for tomorrow. Tomorrow is the big day as far as the release for the next gen update. All right, so I know a lot of you have been kind of waiting for that. A couple of friends that I game with have been talking about it. So Yeah, this is something I'm sure is on a lot of people's radar, and hopefully it'll fix a couple of things that have been kind of fucking up in the game a little bit. Like, for instance, Automatron, the actual DLC, doesn't even work at this point. Like, if you have it downloaded, at least on my console, I don't know if it's the same for anyone listening out there, but if you have it downloaded and you go to play it, it will crash. The game will crash like pretty quickly as far as you start in the game. So, and how to get around that was to pretty much delete the game indefinitely, all of it, and re-download it without Automatron. And that seemed to work, and I've been kind of playing it. Now, the problem, though, I'm having is that there are things in the game that only are through Automatron. Okay, so a lot of the it looks bad. Okay, really, on my screen, I'm missing a lot of the detail. What I'm seeing is things are purple, like a shiny purple. I think I showed you that. Didn't I show you the shiny purple?
Yeah, it just looked like all the texture was pulled off of certain models.
Well, as far as what they were, the devs at Fallout, or Bethesda rather in this case, were saying that the update should fix that on the next gen console. So it is, and as well as Automatron. I don't know if this is the case, and I have like this feeling in my jellies that I think this might fix my lost save file, but I don't think that's the case.
I would say that if you still have the save files and you go to re-upload the game.
Yeah, I don't know. But at this point, I'm kind of like going far with like where I left off before. So I'm like, I'm not even that worried about it. It's all good. Whatever. I just started collecting power armors again because it's just fun to do. But yeah, so it's been pretty good. And that's about what I've been playing. So Verlaine, why don't you tell us, what have you been playing?
So let's see. I started playing Fallout 76 last week. It's cool. Like, you should start playing that. We could play together.
I know.
So we should all play. But I mean, it's cool. It's Fallout, and I haven't really done too much. There's different ways to play, I guess. I played a little bit, but I didn't just go into the normal game. I went into some other thing that I thought was like, I thought it was a battle royale because it was like 24 people on this, blah, blah, blah. And when I started, it was just weird. It was just different. But whatever, it's Fallout, and it was cool. I can possibly still play. Yeah, it's cool. I've been playing Overwatch. They have this thing called Mirror Watch going on right now where they took limited characters and they flipped them, so they're not bad guys, they're good guys. Like, Doomfist is the leader of the good guys, Mercy is bad guy, Reinhardt is a bad guy, Tracer's bad, Sombra's good, Brigitte's bad.
Man, they're running out of ideas, aren't they?
So, but here's the thing, like, they just got done doing this during April Fools. They always do some weird stuff, and they had this mode going on where they kind of like messed with some of the characters and like made them a little bit different. Like Mercy had her beam would heal, but then the other part of the beam actually shot instead of boosting damage. Anyway, so they did different things. This is kind of like that, except they just tweaked out a little bit. Like Brigitte, her flange thing, also it brings them to her. And then it seems like once she starts hitting them, she goes really, really fast. Reinhardt's shield is like Batiste's force thing that he does for an ult, where if you shoot through it, it's more powerful. Sombra, most of the characters heal each other. Like Doomfist, when he does his, like, he jumps towards and hits the ground, when there's heroes around, he'll heal them. When he does his ult and comes down from the sky, he heals people. It's different. It's different. It's okay. I don't care for it because they're still the regular Overwatch, and then there's also the limited characters. Bastion's probably the best character. His ult, he lays down four little robot dog things. Like, okay, like when you remember the Omni, what the bad guy co-op missions when the robots came and you had to
defend. Oh, yeah.
And those little like two-legged things would come with the laser eyes and just start beaming at the thing that you're trying to protect.
Right.
You get four of those to send out and they're just like, you know, go around to the enemies and attack them. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So it's cool. That's just their limited event. It has like the battle pass has the skins like Symmetra. I just got her skin and she's a bad guy. So they have her dressed like she was in Blackwatch or whatever it's called. And then I've been playing Suicide Squad. And today I killed Superman. And it took a while. Like, it took a couple tries.
Stop it, Mike.
And I, just getting to that point has been a while. Like, it's, and I wasn't even doing side missions. I would do the first side mission that they introduce you to, and then that's it. I did a couple other ones to get different, like, afflictions. Like, I have Lightning Bolt and I can light guys on fire now. But I killed Superman. And that's the point. And then you're like, oh, we just killed the Justice League. Yeah. Well, then Brainiac comes down and is pretty much like, nah, you guys aren't fucking doing shit. And then the game opens up even fucking more, dude. So now there's all these different planets that you go, all these different versions of Earth that you go to and you have to destroy shit and pretty much kill Brainiac 13 times. All on different worlds. And when they introduce characters, that's also how they're introducing them. That's where they're pulling the characters. That's why Joker is dead in this world, in most worlds. But Joker is a character. It's because when you get to these else worlds, he's one of the survivors in another else world. So they end up joining you. Dude, I'm still like surprised by how much, dude, and they just gave another mod that I've never had. Now they're putting Necma. Oh, they're giving the bomb chip that's in your head. Now that you have teamed up with Lex Luthor from another world, you can add mods to the fucking chip in your head, making you powerful. Dude, the game's crazy. The game is, it's crazy, man. And now like they're going to be making, it's getting challenging, more challenging. So if you're just roaming around the planet or around yeah, the city, killing dudes and you start killing enough and you start essentially checking off all these like challenge boxes, they start sending in more and more stronger and harder guys to fight you. So that's something that I've always been about in games like this, where you can go into an area, not do anything but fight, and it's challenging enough to where you die. And that's also what's happening. Like, I'm finding myself getting kind of overrun sometimes, and I actually like it because I don't feel like I'm being cheap in any ways when I'm using my shit. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's I'm fucking still down with this game. It's really cool. And I'm not even playing online. I'll play with Jack every once in a while with his story. No, it's cool. I'm digging it, dude.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Right on. What else?
That's it, man.
That's it. Okay. Mike, yeah. What have you been playing?
In the theme of giving some games a bit, or giving controversial games a bit of a second chance, I went back to Redfall.
Oh, wow.
just on a random thought, I decided I have a Series X now. I'm going to go back and play Redfall. When I initially played it, I was playing it through the cloud on my Xbox One, and the game was pretty bad. How much better is it? It is improved. They did fix some aspects of it. The game had a rock stupid AI when I was first playing it. And there's actually a balance now. The enemies aren't rock stupid anymore. They actually adjust with your level. I didn't try anything in co-op. But the world, the world's a little more ironed out. There's better iron drops. There's better item drops. The missions are now accessible. The first time I played it, the game was so overrun with bugs, I couldn't like activate side missions. Like, characters would probably, I actually wish I'd recorded some of my gameplay. Characters, I would be talking to some people, and they would just vanish. And they would start walking off, and then, like, a vampire from a fight earlier in the game would just pop into my game, and they're just sitting there in the safe zone. So they did iron out a lot of those issues, and the game is serviceable. I don't know if it's going to have a roaring comeback, but I'll give credit where it's due to Arkane Studios. They took a game that had a fairly lofty premise, and they made it average. It's it went from a garbage game to now an average game. Would I recommend giving it another shot? I don't think that you'll pick up anything more out of it than what the game has already established. There's certainly room for more improvement with it. The thing that I still don't really get are, like, the characters and their gimmicks, because it's supposed to be a co-op game. It's almost built as if you had Left 4 Dead or Back 4 Blood thrown in a blender and kind of placed in a quasi-open world. But the problem is that it's not as co-op reliant as you would think it would be still. You could still solo the game, and you could still probably have just as much fun with it, but the problem with that is that it's just kind of like a standard looter shooter. And it does get it still gets boring running around and just going after vampires once in a while, so it's still the same game in that regard. They've just taken something that was broken and fixed it. So instead of having your Christmas present smashed with a hammer and then handed to you, they just bought you another one that's, like, slightly better. But I'm still a little burned by the initial run of the game. So it's not like
most people are too. So
yeah. I might dabble in it more. It's still on Game Pass, so I'm not really losing all that much of anything. And I've heard that since they have fixed it, that they fixed its performance issues. Oh, and it does run at 60 frames per second now. So that's cool. Yeah. So, it looks nicer. There's a little more of a challenge to it. So it feels like a game. Thumbs up.
I think that their issue, the biggest issue with that game, is the co-op aspect. They could fix all they want with the AI being stupid or smart, but that's just going to affect you playing solo. When you play with anybody, that's when the game gets stupid, because it doesn't matter how smart the enemies are, there's only a certain number of them. And so me and Jack played, and when we played, he was the guy who had that dog thing. And all you had to do was he would trigger the dog to be pretty much like he would make it aggro. So everyone would attack the dog.
Yeah.
Literally, everyone would attack the dog. So what the fuck am I even there for? Like, send out the dog, everyone, and then you upgrade the dog. And then guess what happens? Blows up and kills everyone around him. So why am I there? There's no point. And then I couldn't do any of my cool shit because his dog was killing everybody before we could do anything. That was the problem. That game needed to be like World War Z, where it was just like
Jack was cheating. That's what it sounds.
No, that was just a normal. That was the move of the dog. He was supposed to, like, distract enemies. But when you would just if you just throw him out, yeah, he's gonna get everyone there, and then you can either just pluck him away or it blows up and kills him.
Right.
It was just, and look, even if you didn't have that, then maybe one of my powers would have been just so OP to people. Like, it was boring as shit. I would have to be like, wait, don't do anything. Let me try this move. Because, like, there'd only be, like, two guys there. And then nothing. You would get, even if there was, like, 10 guys, you would kill half of them in a second. So they needed that game to be way, way harder, and not even harder. They needed more enemies, way more enemies. Like, it's a fucking town overridden by vampires, yet there was nothing even there. It was just a dead town. What are you rescuing a dead town for? That's stupid.
There's only like three different vampire types.
Oh, yeah. And that was one of the only games, too, that I will say got repetitive. Like, I understand you can't. You have to do the same thing over and over in games like nowadays. And why not? Sometimes I like beating the shit out of dudes in an arena all the time just to rank up. This was fucking boring when you're literally going into the same. It was like they forgot to turn on random generation. And it was the same, like, every portal ended up the same fucking, it was the weirdest thing. It was the weirdest thing. But yeah, kudos to you for giving a shot, man.
Yeah, I was with that part. So I'll actually ask you, do you think that it would be better if they added, like, hordes to it, a la Back for Blood or World War Z, or make player versus player with heist elements?
No, that's what I would have been. I would have totally done. That game can save itself if it does PvP. If it does a team-based PvP where, yeah, you add a loot, a fucking kind of like capture the flag, kind of like someone has to sneak in there. I mean, keep the element of being sneaky. Shit, have vampire characters maybe. And then there's an option, because if you just straight up three versus three, then it's going to kill itself. But if you have like some sort of element of like, you can't just go attack dudes, I think it can work out kind of like a Rainbow Six.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like,
I don't know.
It was like the powers are cool. They're just too overpowered.
Yeah, it's, definitely.
Gave that a little bit of a run. Played Tekken 8 on ranked for the first time. After kind of messing around with more like single player stuff. It's like one of the most aggro rushdown fighting games I've ever played. Like, I thought that Street Fighter V's in your face offense, or like King of Fighters 15. Like, King of Fighters 15 is probably like the fastest fighting game going right now. Maybe like Double KO, since it used to be called a DNF Duel. It's now called Double KO. Tekken 8. The game's just a blitz. The way that I've always played fighting games is prioritizing defense. I'll sit back. I'll wait for somebody to make a mistake. And I'll try to whiff punish them. I'll let them throw out a careless move, then I'll throw them, or I'll counter, or I'll parry. In Tekken 8, you have to be on guard for armor. So you have to hit them first before they hit you. I fought the new character, Asasena, earlier today. The coffee girl. And she's not Eddie Gordo. But she's a character that's in constant motion. And when there's a character that's kind of like, you know, dancing and bopping and weaving, you're like, all right, is it safe for me to throw a punch? I'm going to throw a punch. It looks like it's just an idle animation. I'm throw a punch. I threw a punch. She did this pose that was kind of like, hey, what's the matter with me? And I thought that it was just an idle animation. Turns out it was a stance. So I got blasted into the air. Half my life bar was gone. Lessons learned. Old dude playing new fighting games, and this is the result. I've got to start optimizing my offense a little bit better. I also went back to some retro stuff. I started playing the original Gradius on a Nintendo. A couple of buddies on Twitter are doing a Beat 5 franchises challenge, and it's pick 5 franchises that you like, or maybe some that you haven't experienced, and beat at minimum 3 games from it. And I grew up playing Gradius. It's like the granddaddy of like space shooters. And aspects of it, I think, still hold up. If there's anything that I've learned going back to the original one, is just how big of a target you actually are. Like 20 years of like bullet hell, high octane dodging in games like Ikaruga and Radiant Silvergun. When I go back and play this one, like your ship, it doesn't look big, but when there's enough tiny little dots flying in the screen that are moving slow enough that it looks like you can get out of the way, and then there's 3 more dots behind that you want to like dart around. It's amazing how much I find myself in a little bit of a panic when I'm trying to dodge. And something that I had always taught myself, at least with playing like the bullet hell ones, is don't pay attention to what you're shooting. Keep your eye on your ship. Because if you keep your eye on your ship, then you can just dodge, and the stuff that you hit, it doesn't matter where you're firing. You have unlimited ammo in those games.
Right.
So, yeah. I'll try to keep the same thing with
Truxton or any of those shooter games. You know.
Yes. It's like you find yourself in a bit of a zone. And just like Truxton, if you get far enough and you die and you lose all your weapons, you may as well start the game all over, because it's pretty much a game over at that rate.
Yeah.
And that's been mostly my week in gaming, training myself in old games, getting my ass kicked in new ones.
Nice. All right. Well, what's your retro reboot this week?
My retro reboot this week, which you can read at gamefixshow.com. I post them regularly on Tuesday between the hours of noon and 1 p.m. And I kind of went a little bit back in time with this one. I reviewed Command & Conquer for the PC, one of my favorite real-time strategy games. It's astounding how this holds up, and it's a genre that I don't see too much anymore. Not since like the peak of like StarCraft II, Command and Conquer. I've missed it ever since Westwood Studios got bought out by EA. I still do have the collection on my computer, and I was actually trying to get it fired up to run, but my computer's such a potato that I could barely get the game working. But the original game, it's one of those pillars of like the RTS. It's back when Warcraft, Dune 2, and StarCraft, like those games really kind of put like PC gaming at the time in the mid 90s on the map.
Yeah. I agree. All right, you gotta go check that out. Gamefixshow.com. All right. Let's get into a few things here. I think we need to start out with Fallout. It reached 5 million players in just one day. Okay, obviously, the credit goes to the amazing Fallout show that's on Prime, right? Yeah, it's on Prime. I actually finished Fallout. I finished the show. So I watched it all. And it is fucking awesome. All right, they nailed it. It's so good. If you are a Fallout fan, this is something that you might not even know you were waiting for. I know there's like a fan Fallout that was put out a few years back, and it's actually not bad. I actually went through it and kind of skimmed through it, and it was actually not too bad. I was like, okay, that's cool. Obviously, there's more money in the Fallout show on Prime, but because of that show, a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon and getting back into Fallout, which begs the question, when's the next Fallout? I think that's really what everyone's kind of thinking, right? Although I feel like at this point, they're just going to ride as far as tomorrow, the update for the next gen. That'll buy them a few years, right? How many years do you think that will buy Bethesda until some people actually are like, give me a new one?
Look, they've already
Fallout 76 too. We could say that.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Fallout 76 right now, to me, I haven't played them side by side recently, but it looks like Fallout 4. So graphically, it's there. I mean, you got a game that is Fallout online, huge. And look, I notice the little fucking stupid things. And when people talk, their mouths move, but they fucking match what they're saying, and that's impressive. That's impressive for a game that's traditionally single player and moved to online. I mean, there's games, even fucking games like Overwatch, they don't move their mouth when they talk. They don't. But I like it. It's something that I look for in games to see how much they actually give a shit. I think the biggest
as far as a game goes, as far as that type of detail, is Red Dead Redemption 2. I think there's no game that even touches that game as far as that detail goes. But yeah, go ahead.
So they have that with 76. They've already, you know, done some updates. You can have a vault, the Vault 33 suit and stuff. You can dress up like the ghoul, like they have his cowboy suit available now. So they can do a lot with it. Even story wise, they just throw on, you could just go into a private server. The story's still there. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, they may want to. I think we'll see. If they're smart, we'll see another Fallout show before we see another standalone Fallout game. Because that show will make them money. If
they already announced season two. So that's
right. So after that comes out, then release a game, no matter what kind of Fallout game it is, people are going to buy it. Right now, every iteration of Fallout is free in some way, or you already own it. It's free on Game Pass, everything. So, yeah, I think that it would be smart. I don't know.
The cliffhanger at the end of the very last episode is fantastic. I kind of want to say it, but I don't want to ruin anything for anybody. Would you guys be opposed if I were to say it?
I saw the whole thing.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But then there's a couple things. Like I was like, dude, if this didn't get greenlit for a second season, how pissed would you be? There's like three things that have been, like four or five things that are just, you don't know what the fuck. It's like just out there. Like it wasn't wrapped up.
Well, of course.
So, I mean, but it's so good because I'm watching the show and then there's parts of it that I'm like, side mission. That's it. I'm like doing a side mission right now. They'll go back.
Well, Steve has said, say the cliffhanger. All right. Well, here, if you don't want to know the cliffhanger, if you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and mute us for about 10 seconds here. I'll do a little countdown and I'll say it and then I'll come back. Are you ready? Okay. In 3, 2, 1, New Vegas, Fallout New Vegas. That's where we're going next. And I'm pretty excited about it.
Oh yeah. Is that where
it's going to be?
What's that?
I don't know. I didn't, was there a sign or anything?
No, it was the city that her father was looking at when he was in the power armor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, because I didn't know what it was because I did. I was like, is that Seattle? So that'd be kind of weird. Yeah. That'd be kind of weird if it is because that's the first. Usually they're different cities.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. It makes sense though because Dog Meat is the name of the dog. It's not just a dog. It's fucking Dog Meat.
Right.
The fucking ghoul dog.
I'm just waiting for how long it takes for the dog to have the brain, you know, the see-through skull with the you could see the brain inside of the dog. If that's going to happen,
does it happen in Fallout 4?
I don't know. No, I don't think it is in Fallout 4, but it is in New Vegas.
New Vegas. Oh yeah, I didn't really play that too much.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess
Fallout 4.
Oh, I guess the thing that's like people said, "Oh, can this be a Fallout 5?" Well, it already is in a lot of ways. It has become a bit of a Fallout 5, which if it's blending into New Vegas, like I don't know what part in the timeline that would be like that would converge in, but a cool Easter egg to throw to the fans. Actually, it's not an Easter egg at this point. It's just there.
So. We know it's coming. Yeah, we know it's coming. We know it's the next iteration, and it's good. It's I think that's exactly where they need to go. I think they did right here. I have a you guys can see what the Dog Meat looked like in Fallout New Vegas.
Wait, is the Dog Meat is in Fallout 4 too, right?
Well, he's not called Dog Meat in New Vegas. He's just Rex or something like that.
Okay, but he is because I know him as Dog Meat. And I only played 4, really. Oh, that. Okay, maybe it's.
Huh.
I don't know. Maybe it's a different dog.
Yeah. But why? Actually, it's because it makes sense as far as the timeline goes. Because if you have Dog Meat is just, you know, he has all his appendages and stuff. I feel like eventually he's going to get into a fight. Lose a bunch of appendages.
So that would mean Fallout 4 comes after New Vegas.
As far as the show goes, I don't know if that's the, you know, honestly, this is the way I feel as far as the Fallouts are, even the first one through whatever, I think they're all happening at the same time.
Yeah, like Final Fantasy.
Right.
Different cities, same. But yeah, this might not even be, this might be its own universe too.
No, I'm excited.
But I'm down. It's cool. It's cooler than I thought it would be. I'm not even into fucking Fallout. And still, like, I don't care. after seeing the whole series, there is nothing that is going to make that I can see Borderlands even fucking like doing that's going to be anything but mildly entertaining, like the Expendables. Like, that's how Borderlands is going to be there. I don't see it.
Is the DC of the new Fallout show.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
Yeah, that's
like, let's get what we can out of that James Gunn style of writing and presentation.
Oh yeah, Posefa's good call. He says Fallout is blowing Halo out of the water. I honestly forgot that they made a Halo show. Yeah. Seriously, that's how like far away that show is. And they brought out a second season, or they're talking about a second season. Is that
It's getting a second season.
It's getting a second season. Okay, so. Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely not the same. It doesn't have the storyline like Fallout does. It really doesn't. Like, the Fallout story is so fucking solid, and it's like they really, really made sure that story was right.
Yeah, there's a lot of mystery.
Yeah, and when it comes to the show, they really nailed it. It really shows that the creator played the game.
Huh. And
dude, I'm so interested in the fucking.
Oh, the second season is already out for Halo. Sorry.
Yeah. I want to know what happened with fucking her brother, dude. I'm interested in that. But that's some fucked shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that whole story right there is like crazy.
Yeah. I want to know what happened to the ghoul's family.
Yeah,
that's what we're.
That is true. He's never said that the whole series. He's finally like got to ask, like, what the fuck? That's all he wanted.
He's like 200 years. He's like, I haven't been able to ask. And it was funny because remember in the one episode where she introduces herself as Lucy McLean, right? And and he's like, and we're all like, what do you? How do you even know that name? She's been in that thing for 200 years.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
I still want to know how. How did she live that whole time?
What do you mean?
The chick that was in charge of the rebel chick. How did she live for 200 years? They never said that.
I don't think she did.
What do you mean?
Well, there was a reason why she had access to 32.
Oh yeah, because they're like made to be that way. That's right, because they only release them when they're like ready like that.
Right.
Be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Huh.
So that's what I'm assuming, because
and she kept the wife. She kept the wife around the mother around with the ghoul.
Right. Like, if you notice in that scene, there's a lot of empty chambers.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed when I was playing Fallout. When the load screen comes up and it tells a hint, like, it actually said, if you get too much radiation, you actually will get mutated, and it could either positively or negatively affect you. I didn't know that happened in Fallout. I thought you just died of radiation.
Well, in the game, yes. Like, if you're playing the game and you have too much radiation, you die.
Well, Fallout 76. Yeah, if you get too much, you mutate.
Oh, see, that's, there you go. Well, and you could see that some have mutated super mutants. You know, even the ghouls and the feral ghouls and all that, like, they mutated, they didn't die. So there's a chance either way. But in the game, I think just like as you're playing, your character will die from it. But come on. If you die from radiation in Fallout 4, you're not playing the game correctly.
Yeah.
It's so easy to not die from radiation in Fallout 4.
It's like falling off the Grand Canyon.
Well, unless you're going to see what's the character? He's the super mutant, but he's the like the scientist. He's like really smart. Fox. Yeah, FAWKES Fox. That's his name. But to get to him, it's like crazy radiation to get there. So you have to make sure that you have like a radiation suit. You have plenty of Radaway and Rad Out and all that. But like, yeah, that mission was crazy. I died a few times actually doing that mission because I didn't expect it to be that. Like, it's like crazy radiation when you get out there. It's, I believe, southwest of the map. Like, literally below the map.
So does, like, radiation destroy, like, regular suits if you don't have, like, prep for it?
Yes? No? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've never lost a suit before, so I guess maybe no. I mean that's the answer to that. But either way, looking forward to more Fallout and see what the future holds. Pretty cool. Yeah, I'm in. I cannot wait. All right, let's go to Helldivers. Biggest thing is Helldivers. They're considering, PlayStation is considering a port to Xbox. I feel like this is the right thing to do. The new PlayStation CEO needs to kind of more or less shake things up. And I think they need to play nice for, you know, losing out on half the money they could be making. That's really what it comes down to. And I think we all can see that. I think we can all see that if you were the CEO of PlayStation, you'd be like, how can we make more money? You know, because people are playing this game. And the people are just keep playing and playing and playing. And the answer isn't, you know, let's put ads in the game. That's not the answer. But the answer could be, you know, there's a half of gamers out there can't play the game. Let's give them a chance. So that's why I keep saying, and we've said on this show multiple times, that exclusive games aren't a great idea. They aren't, especially when you're trying to make money. And I get it. These people have so much money and it's like, why do they need to make more? But it's like, I don't know. It just feels like an easy decision. Verlaine, are you going to buy it the minute it comes out on Xbox, if it happens?
It depends on a bunch of stuff. Crossplay and
stuff. Oh, I'm sure there'll be crossplay. Yeah.
Well, there's things.
There's already crossplay with PC. So I would imagine it'll be with consoles.
So, well, Mike already plays it. So here's the thing. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just bullshit. I think it's just somebody that has a higher job in media was able to fucking print something like this. There was more of this around Spider-Man, which was way more deserved, which was obvious. Like, you're taking something that just had one of the most popular movies on Earth and it making it exclusive, knowing that the other half of the planet would buy it. And they didn't do that. They made a sequel and another. They made two other games and kept them exclusive. They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. But second, this one comes down. I posted the article right before the show about the toxicity of Helldivers, which is weird. And you're not going to get any if you're playing four players. But what if you're not? And that article that I posted is kind of weird. And that's why I say maybe no crossplay, because they were offering a suit to people who pre-ordered the game. It was exclusive that you can't get anymore. Right. And now when people wear that suit, they're targets and they're getting team killed immediately because people are jealous. Imagine those people when they see an Xbox player, just based on the facts, just being who they are, there is going to be no, that's what they're doing to like their own kind for wearing a different suit. Like that's the toxicity. That is group toxicity. That's like not even random people saying, I want to fuck with the game. That's like people collectively being like, hey guys, let's do this to these people. So, I mean, what's worse now? Like having a direct enemy of players like that are after certain people. And you know what? The whole time, this is what's fucked up, because like I get it when it's not fucking serious, but when serious things are happening and they as in whoever's running their media, they're still in this goddamn fucking LARPy character like, hey, ladies and gentlemen of the fucking whatever the fucking they call it, the army, we have other recruits being targeted by blah, blah, blah. Like, no, fucking be like, hey, guys, stop doing this. We're the fucking dev team. Don't fuck around. Get out of character, because people are going to stay in their character and be like, we're going to be rebels then. We're going to mutiny. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just going to perpetuate everything.
instead of just snapping out and being like, guys, it's a fucking game. Stop it.
Yeah, but that's not going to help anything. I think you're a little naive to think that that's going to fix things.
Well, it's if it's already warranting a response from the game developers, they're staying in character instead of saying this is an issue, we should stop doing it. They're staying in character, still giving the people an option to do it or not. We highly recommend, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is something where you step out and be like, don't do that because that's fucked up. You're deliberately just...
Yeah, but people don't care about that, Verlaine.
What makes it toxic, though. That's like, if you don't care, but if you were the one wearing it or you had a teammate...
No. They don't care about what you're saying right now is what I'm saying. Just to say like, hey, guys, stop it. They'll do it even more. you're actually daring them to do it even more. And by the way, if you're watching the live show, this is the suit that we're talking about. It's completely blue. And if you're wearing that, apparently you're a target. Okay, fine, whatever.
Well, either way.
How dare these people pre-order the game?
Yeah, it's look, it's stupid to do, but I'm just saying, like, if that's the kind, because they can't troll the way they want to, that's the kind of stuff you're going to get. But that's what happens. Things like that happen in SOCOM, not necessarily, but then you get people that pretend they're Marines or they as a team cheat, therefore that's what they are. So then when people are like, you should stop cheating, they're not gonna, because now in this whole made up world of SOCOM, they are now the bad guys. They identify as the bad guys. They will continue to be the bad guys.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh boy. It also runs rampant a little bit in Fortnite. It's generally with the skins. People will pick on other kids if they don't have like the latest hottest skins. So it's a little bit like, are you showing up to school with like the newest hottest shoes, or are you the like lame kid whose parents couldn't afford the Nike, so you're just there with the Jordashes? I think that's the first I've heard of that for Helldivers. I guess you could probably roll out some punishment bans for it, but then that kind of starts taking the, like, how far do you go with punishing people for suspicious play, friendly fire? Because if it's malicious or if it's just, like, accident-based, then, I mean, Jack's account would have been banned ages ago. I think it'd be messed up if there are people in like discount groups, Discord. I can't talk today. In like Discord groups that are like going, hey, let's like go ahead and like strike these friends. Like, I haven't seen that outfit because I'm going to assume that everybody's such a higher level than I am that it's just not a thing that I've run into. But it's kind of messed up. It'd be interesting to see how much of like of an epidemic that this would become. And if you cross things over with Xbox players, of course you let the poor kids into our yard. So there, it's actually going to be like when WWE bought out WCW and Vince McMahon made the WCW guys wear WCW shirts, which pissed off the WWE guys. So when they had matches, they get in extra shots. That's kind of what that makes me think of.
I think they should just make a toggle friendly fire. You find your own game, even if it's just bullets. I mean, not splash damage from explosives.
They already said they'll never ever do that.
Because
if they do that, then that means you won't be able to shoot any of the bugs either.
What?
Because it's okay. So how the game was created is that everything can be hit no matter what, and you can't separate the two. So if you turn one off, it would turn both off. So they are never going to do that. They actually said that when it first came out.
Well, that's detrimental. But I mean, like,
why is it detrimental?
You ever play a game called Left 4 Dead and play it on expert when you have fucking full? All you're going to get later on in the game is people jumping in, killing you until you have to get... That's fine. Do that. But if you can't turn that off, and for them to say they can't, like, seriously, they can't develop bullets that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of like weird, but I don't know, man. That is what's going to be their downfall. Like, you can't make a game like this, expect it to be straight up co-op with just friends, because there's so many people that don't have friends that want to play games like this. And then you're going to get people, because it's friendly fire, that's going to get in and kill you immediately.
That's a good point by Jack. He says it's easy to boot people. So as long as you create your own game, you have the power to boot anyone. Like, as easy as that. So, like, even in the middle of the game, if they're acting stupid, they're gone.
Yeah.
So I think with that, the only thing that you have to watch out for is when you're joining someone else's game and they're being the assholes.
Yeah. And then
right. So in this case, create your own game. You'll never have to worry about that. You'll always be able to boot the piece of shits.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah. I pluraled that, but yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, if there's crossplay, then I mean, I'll give it a whirl. If not, obviously, I won't play it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm at a point now where I'm like, I'm fine if I never play it. I'm fine. It's been long enough. Just like Spider-Man. Like, I'd love to, but oh well.
Sounds like a defeated man is what that sounds like to me. Yeah. Oh, well. You know, Mike, you mentioned Fortnite. Speaking of the snowflakes in Fortnite, apparently you can now block overly confrontational emotes.
How about they just stop making them, whatever the fuck they are?
The fact that you are offended by a fucking emote tells me everything I need to know about the game.
Yeah, and the players.
It's like teabagging,
isn't it?
Yes, I was just because that's the thing. Like, you can still teabag, so you can ban the emotes, but somebody could still stand over you and friggin' teabag. So, all right, you got rid of one of the emotes that plays obnoxious music and loud dancing. If anything, you're just going to reinforce teabagging. I get what they're trying to do with this, because I didn't play a ton of Fallout. Fortnite. I didn't play a ton of it, but I think that every time I got killed, I got teabagged, and generally I just kind of laugh it off. I mean, you take your lumps and you move on. If you're that offended by like a video game dance, then your life must be excellent. If that's like on your
how does it block it? Like, you just don't, you can't see it, or like what?
I know, it just like doesn't show the animation.
Yeah. So like if you're the one doing the taunt, you see it, but if somebody else is doing it, like the character's just standing there with the gun. So
what's more offensive, getting killed or somebody dancing cuz they killed you? I'd be more offended that they killed me.
Right.
Yeah. Stay alive.
Relaine, you're offended a lot when it comes to
look, that. So here's the thing. When you play a game that you respawn, and if somebody teabags, that's kind of like more like a challenge. That's them saying, hey, I'm better than you. All right. Because, and then you're like, okay, it's on. And then me, I'll target you. Cause to me, that's like, okay, you want this. Like, I just played a game with Jack, and he's like, hey man, I don't remember the character. He's like, this character just teabagged me. And I'm like, all right, cool. So we both collectively targeted, killed him, teabag. And it's street a friendly justice gesture. And it's, but the thing is we're doing it because we know that there's another match and they can come back. We're not doing it if they're on mouse and keyboard. Oh, for sure. We're not doing it at the end of the match where they can't, like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, battle royale, big deal, you died. Like, that's the point of the game. I'll fucking teabag people that I beat on mouse and keyboard all the time.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Well, you're a toxic gamer is what you are.
No, man.
You added that toxicity.
If you saw some dudes playing basketball at the playground, you wouldn't grab the ball and start throwing it and being like, it's not a professional game, so what the fuck have you been out of shape?
Right, because
to me, it matters. And
because you're in front of the person.
If someone's cheating,
right.
That's it. If someone cheats, you guys don't play games like that a lot. That, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I don't care, to be honest.
Right. You can teabag me all you want. I do. Like, whatever. When I play games like that, I care. I'm competitive. I want to win, and I want to win fairly.
I want to win, too.
If I get beat, I want to get beat fairly. But that's the difference between me and other people. Like, some people will let this stuff happen and be like, whatever, big deal. But I'm like, well, it's going to keep happening. People like that exist because people of like me don't.
Yeah.
Look, it's just like recycling. Everybody thinks, hey, you got to recycle. One person matters. Well, I think bad people are more toxic than garbage.
Are you saying that you don't recycle?
I do recycle.
Oh, okay.
All right, good. Yeah. Like that, I think that's one of the things
it
is like.
Earth Week after all.
Just it is.
Yeah. Sunday was Earth Day.
Like, I think that was like one of the things that I loved about, I think it was Mortal Kombat X. Either Mortal Kombat X or Mortal Kombat 9. People would teabag me. Like, because they win the first round, which I think is a big mistake. If you're going to taunt somebody, make sure you got the match won. So I beat their ass. I come back, and in Mortal Kombat, it's like, finish him. And I don't remember if it was X, 9, or 11, where if somebody tried rage quitting, they still got the fatality animation. So you could quit the game, but you couldn't exit you getting finished off. So if somebody's got the balls to teabag and then you lose and you want to try and dip because you don't want to get embarrassed, tough shit, it's still happening.
You got a quitality.
Oh, quitality. Yeah. That's what you get. Yeah.
Okay. That's what
it is. Yeah, quitality. Which is fine. That was good that they put that in there because that kind of alleviates because you don't want to be that guy. Come on.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are that guy or girl, whatever. Doesn't really matter.
Fortnite's making the world safe for gamers.
Yeah, whatever. I don't give a shit. They make billions of dollars. What do they care? What do they care? Other than, I don't want any of our players to cry. So let's give
but
them.
But Dave, feelings are hurt.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever. All right. New game coming from Atari? Is that what I'm reading? Yeah. Atari and WayForward teaming up for a brand new action game, Yars Rising. I'm guessing that's what from Yars Revenge, right? Is that kind of what we're looking at? All right, cool. Mike, you wrote the article. Tell us about this. Is this something we all should be waiting for, or is this just going to be another Atari thing that gets swept under the rug?
This one... I think if you're a fan of like Metroidvanias, if you like stuff like Dead Cells, it looks like it's going to aim to be one of those, which I think is a cool way to bring Yars back. Because you could make it a shooter. Like you can make it a space shooter. But space shooters are probably one of the most niche genres today. What's on fire today? Explorative action games.
Yep.
So you make it one of those. You're definitely going to get more people playing it. I think this is a kick-ass move by Atari.
That's cool. And it's not just a Nintendo game, as it kind of looks like, but no, it will be released on Xbox, Switch, PlayStation 5, 4, PC. So there's going to be a lot of places to do that. Verlaine, is this something you'd be into? Because considering I know that you're a big fan of games like this. And especially Atari. I know you're an Atari guy too, so.
Yeah, but a lot of Atari's rebooty kind of stuff is stupid. Like they have the recharge versions, which I mean, it's still an Atari game. The coolest thing about that was like if you played them on your phone, you could do an AR thing where it'd show like you could put a console, so you could walk up to the console and like it'd be in your house. But either way, it wasn't enough for me to care too much about them. I like Atari. Like, in fact, they have a new game, an actual new Atari game that I pre-ordered last year. It's still not made. I'm more interested in that. Like the games that weren't finished because of the video game crash. And Yars, honestly, I think there's other properties that might have, I'd be more interested in seeing new games from than Yars. But I mean, I don't know. I won't buy it for sure. I'd have to see it. And okay. I don't know.
I mean, the trailer. Because, look, is
yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'd have to play it because Dead Cells is sweet, but then Yars, look, games back then didn't really have too much of stories, and fucking, I thought you were the Yars thing. Like, that's, like, this girl doesn't even exist in my memory, so, like, it's just, it's kind of, it doesn't fit right now.
Yeah, it's like they took a new character, and they're, like, an original character. I don't know if she becomes the fly, more to come on that, in terms of, like, the narrative, but... There's like puzzles that you can do where the puzzles will become the old Yars Revenge game, which is kind of a neat touch. Nier Automata kind of did something like that, where during like the hack and slash action, it would then kind of turn into like Galaga or something. Like, so that's like kind of a fascinating idea to like blend something with like the old with the modern.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, something to look forward to. Kind of cool. I like that an old IP is kind of making its way back, especially when it comes to Atari. What?
I just actually used my new Atari, the 2600 yeah. Plus, because I bought a game, Kool-Aid Man. I got Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the first. I forgot that, like, I don't have my other Atari set up, so I hurried up, put this up, put the game in. The game fucking works, but
so.
It's sweet. Like, when you put it in now, it actually has a boot up screen. It's like, it says Atari, and the graphics are fucking smooth. And what I'm thinking, it's, I'm getting the feeling that it's actually hurrying up and like kind of doing what a lot of those third party like Nintendo games, like the, you know, the, like I have one, the cubic so, N or whatever. Like
retro parts?
Yeah. Those are really, they're not reading off the cart. They're just ripping the ROM really fast and then reading the ROM off a computer. So that's what it feels like it might be doing because it's, I mean, it's fucking, so the graphics are slick, like fucking HD and everything. So it's sweet. So that being said, I went back and I actually just bought, they've been reissuing a lot of games, and I just bought a couple 7800 games that I never played. Like cool. Food Fight, nice. Which I played on the arcade, but dude, the thing's sweet. Atari's like slowly just like, I think they're doing it the right way now. It's just right now there's just a following, just a niche following, and they understand that, and they're actually catering to those people, sporadically throwing things out into the public like this Yars thing or like those Recharge things that are only on mobile apps, and they're not even making huge deals. But like, I don't know, man. It's there's something, I don't know. Something's going on. They're doing something right. Like this 2600 Plus was like such a great move for them.
Yeah, I almost feel like that, like, hey, Konami can get on that train, like, actually make another TurboGrafx-16 and release the HU cards with, like, ROMs of TurboGrafx-16 games on them.
Like, imagine with Atari, you get this thing. You already have, like, so many fucking games probably just anywhere in your fucking parents' house. They're still widely available for mad fucking cheap. You could buy like tons of them on eBay. So it's like, I don't know, man. That's different. That's something that you don't. And if you have TurboGrafx-16, it would be sweet. That shit would sell. Unlike Atari, though, there's not like, they're still rare. Like finding those games is still going to be rare.
I mean, it's still pretty niche. It's still pretty niche because like at this point, you think about it, you're like, oh, do I want to play Kool-Aid Man on the Atari or Fallout 4?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, so, like, if you can't compare it to any game nowadays. You have to have that niche love for it. You have to have that, like, that nostalgic love for it because, honestly, if I owned it, I probably wouldn't play it. Yeah. I really wouldn't because I didn't have an Atari. When I was a kid, it wasn't like a thing. It's to me, it's nostalgic, yes, but it's not like reminiscent, I guess, in my case. It's not something like, oh man, I wish I could relive those days. Honestly, the console that I had, they don't make anything for it. So it's like, I don't know. I think that's kind of where I'm at with that. So there's so many people out there that would rather play a game that's modern as opposed to a type of game like that.
I would always.
Yeah, but right.
I only buy the games I had. I loved as a child. And yeah, I put them in and it's like, okay, I get it. Kool-Aid Man, am I going to put that in again? No. I played it for like a minute, 2 minutes. I got it. I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, nice. I own it again. Sweet, done.
Yeah. Like it's like Verlaine said, the misfire with what people were trying to do with retro is like Tommy Tallarico, what he was trying to do with the Intellivision Amico, he was trying to make something that would compete with a Switch or an Xbox. And that's not going to happen with those. If you know the audience that you're making it to, just keep that bar of expectations there. Like SNK has always like released Neo Geo, but the only people who's going to be buying Neo Geo minis are going to be morons like me. People that like grew up with those old AES units in the arcades. But like people worldwide aren't going to buy that because SNK spent so much time being obscure that they don't know who to cater to because their biggest markets are in like South America, Mexico, and Japan. But people in the United States aren't like familiar with those names. And Atari's tried so many comebacks that they would always like misfire. They would always assume that we're going to pull in 15 and 20 year olds to play Missile Command in 2015. And that's just not going to happen.
No.
So with the way that the Atari 2600, with the way that this Plus works, like if I buy that, my nephew, who's always like looked at like my retro games, he's going to go, ooh, hey, what's that? That looks kind of fascinating. And I'll play it with them. And he learns a little bit from me. So it can serve as like trivia today because kids are more interested in learning about like the games of like last year, even if they don't want to devote a great deal of time to them. It's just stuff that they can like get history of. And that's why that like gatekeeping stuff with like, what is retro? This should or shouldn't be retro. Like, don't do that. Cause like everybody can learn something from any generation.
Well, here, let me ask Verlaine this. Cause he's a father. I'm a new father, and I have this idea in my head that I want to introduce my child to retro games before I introduce him to modern games. How did you do it with your son, Verlaine?
So I used to think the same way, but then that didn't happen because you have society, their classmates that are playing certain things, you know, but how it works is like this. We had that to learn from. We as children had that and that we grabbed it, right? Our kids have what we're playing to learn from and our kids learn from that. So by default, our kids are more advanced than us. So you don't want to start them on retro. He's going to grasp what's going on because he's a child of today. Mike, it's not like my kids can't. My 7-year-old was using an iPhone to edit video, no shit, when he was 5. I'm one of those people when people are like, oh, dude, I've been doing this since I was 6. I'm like, yeah, right, dude, you can barely do anything when you're 6. But there are things that my son is doing, even playing Roblox on his iPad at 7. A game like Roblox, that would destroy society if it came out when we were kids.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just based on that is why that idea, it would actually, I think, stunt their learning because now they're learning primitive shit. Like we don't learn how to draw from caveman drawings on walls. We're learning from professional painters. You know, we're learning from people who know math, yeah. Not learning. You know what I'm saying? So I know where you're going and how the thought is. But also that's what the people that make these games and want retro to be relevant have to think. And I think Atari has finally figured it out is that they existed and they made stuff. People have stuff. If they wanted it and don't have it, they already have it. Stop giving it back to us. Start giving us stuff as if that stuff exists because it does. And that's what they're doing now. They're giving us next console versions of their games. This Yars thing, I'm going to ignore the recharge. That's kind of like a halfway point. they're giving us a console to play stuff that's already out. The controllers work on it. The games work on it. 7800 games work on it. I'm not sure if the prior games. So that is something that they released saying, we already know you have the stuff, or it's already out there. So here's something that's not. We're tired of giving you shit that's already out there. Why do we keep giving it to you? So now they're giving us that. They're giving us new versions of games, like, you know, new originals. And then the games that are coming out that they're going to release on the Atari are new games that weren't on the Atari. Whether it's a game that got canceled, like this game Save Mary that I pre-ordered, or it's another game that just, you know, didn't come out or wasn't even in, it just deliberately was made afterwards. You're going to start getting games for the, and that's the thing too. These games are coming out and they will work on your old Atari, so you don't have to buy that in order to play these games. So yeah, they may not be making a lot of money off this business plan, but it's all they have because they are fucking Atari. So right now, what I'm seeing from Atari is what we saw from Atari when they first came out. They're paving the way for some new kind of shit. They're being original in what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's very subtle right now, but they're doing it. Just like Sega, Sega's doing their own thing. But Sega's thing is always going to keep them in the third party. Atari's actually trying, I think, to get their shit back. So who knows? I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's the only question I had. So I wanted to see how you did it and what should I expect?
Yeah,
so,
he probably wouldn't. He honestly probably wouldn't even like when I show my kids my old Nintendo stuff, they're not as interested in seeing literally a cartoon living in front of them that they can control.
Sure. Yeah, that makes more sense. Okay. All right. That's fair. We'll see. Challenge accepted. I don't know. Either way. Well, speaking of nostalgia, more or less nostalgia, PUBG. How about this? We haven't talked about PUBG in a while. They are returning the original map because they want to evoke nostalgia for players who remember the early access days. Winner, winner, awesome. Chicken dinner.
Because it's probably like when we got on, they still have the original map. So it'd be like exactly the same.
Yeah.
Does
that make you want to play PUBG again?
Yeah. Actually, I just talked to some people from my job, like some customers that were gamers, and he plays PUBG all the time still. And I was like, I remember when I used to play that. And the dude's like our age. He just has always played it.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah, I remember those days, man.
Mike, did you play PUBG?
Yeah, I played a little. It was pretty fun. This game's doing it. Like they're going back to vanilla. Is Overwatch gonna do a bit of a retro update of itself?
I would love if they kept this mirror one going. If they did this mirror watch and they kept it as a separate kind of like back to basics, but a little different. Cause like the limited characters, it's still like limited characters. There's 3, 4, 4. So 11.
Well, it's only a limited thing on PC. Yeah. It's available until May 28th, May 14th through May 28th. And on console, it's May 23rd through June 6th. So it's only a limited thing anyway. So it's not anything that will stick forever. But it might get people back on.
Like their major update consists of reworking literal heroes. See, and that's the thing. Like, whatever. They're making shit like this, right? They have the time to fucking figure this out. Oh, let's balance this game real quick by throwing in powers, like literally changing their fucking kits. Yet they can manage to balance this enough. Then they have all these things going on in the game that they supposedly can't work out and everybody's mad and blah, blah, blah. Like maybe the PvP didn't work out or the PvE didn't work out because you weren't focusing on it. I don't know, dude. It's just fucking weird.
Jack said Overwatch Classic, it's coming.
I don't know. See, that's the thing. Overwatch Classic, I couldn't play. I'd want to play right after they updated Doomfist and made him work.
That's when
Overwatch was the best.
Give me back Bastion with a shield.
No, that's too early for me.
I know. That's really early.
Symmetra with the shield generator. I'll take that any day, dude. I fucking was slick with that fucking thing.
Yeah. Only the OG characters.
No, Vanilla Overwatch, starting with all the new ones and working backwards.
Mm. Now, that would be fascinating because they'd be... Because the new characters wouldn't have kits to reverse engineer.
Oh, yeah. There would be no... It wouldn't be Vanilla. It would just be...
So... So
Overwatch without those characters.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it. Well,
Those characters are not just how they are. The new characters haven't been reworked.
Because like in a state like that, Kiriko could probably be pretty overpowered.
Not if the only new people are around. I don't know.
Oh well,
she's a weirdo.
Yeah. Yo, what up, Shadow? Welcome on in.
Full Team Rez was the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I crushed a lot of Team Souls with that move.
Hell yeah, dude. Especially when they kill all the five of your teammates, and then you just fucking fly in
dude.
And just go boom, boop, and they're all back, and then you're fucked.
Everyone. Yeah, the whole team would, like, everyone would use their alts just to win, and oh man, that was great.
Then you just use one alt and take them all out. Yeah. Fun stuff. Yeah. Oh, man. You're crying. It's so nostalgic. I'm sure it'll be just as toxic as it is today. So that's fine. Doesn't really matter. All right. One last thing I do want to mention. There was an interview with Steven Ogg, the voice actor and actor, if you will. And Grand Theft Auto Trevor, apparently he came out and said in an interview that there was an entire DLC that he worked for and did that looks like we'll never see the light of day. It was a 007 Trevor. I don't know. Is this something that if you're a GTA fan, is this something they're like, man, we really missed out like this, or is it just like whatever anymore?
Dude, I don't even, how would you even play that?
Well, apparently it's where they're saying Trevor was going to go undercover and work for the feds.
I think you start teetering in the Saints Row territory there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, whatever. It'd just be another story.
Right.
Whatever work. He'd still be him.
And it's funny, coming from Steven Ogg, who, by the way, almost hates the fact that he was Trevor in GTA because he's annoyed by people that ask him to do Trevor. And now he comes out and says, there was this DLC that I worked on. It's never going to see the light of day. And he's like complaining about that. You're the one that has been complaining about being that character. Now you're complaining about there wasn't enough of your character in the game.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of what he's saying. And it's kind of sad. And I'm just like, all right, man. Well, that's fine. You know, because like the guy who played Michael, he's come out and said before that he loves it. He loves when someone says, you know, oh, you're Michael. You know, what I do, you know, do whatever. But for some reason, when it comes to Steven Ogg, he is not. Relish the fact that he was Trevor. He actually kind of resents it.
It's like, I wanted to be a movie star and now I'm some nerd.
I only made thousands of millions of dollars on this fucking game. That sucks.
Woe is me.
Yeah, maybe he didn't make millions, but he probably made a good amount of money, right?
Yeah.
Don't be the Jaleel White trying to fight against the Urkel.
Can I do that?
What was his name? Stefan, right?
Yeah.
wasn't that like the cool Steve Urkel, Stefan?
Like the Jekyll Hyde when he did that thing.
Yeah.
Or Nutty Professor.
I don't know. Hyde. It sounds like something that I would definitely like to play because, you know, it really all the lines that Trevor was awesome and it was just hilarious. Especially, you know, switching from Michael or what can I think of the other guy's name?
Franklin.
Franklin, thank you. Switching from Michael to Franklin, to Trevor, there was always something he was doing that was...
Yeah, seems like in the strip club or killing someone or in the car with a prostitute.
It's like drowning somebody in a toilet. And like, I mean, there were so many different things that it made that character so likable and so hilarious. So like, I don't know, for him to go undercover with the feds and be like a kind of a 007 type character, I would love that. I think that would be cool. But looks like we'll never see it. So I don't know. But now that he said it, people are aware of it now. You never know.
Trying to get people to turn on Rockstar. Like, why didn't you do this?
I know. Yeah. I guess it could happen. Maybe he's itching to get paid more, and because he only got paid for the voice, he didn't get paid. You know what I mean? I don't know. If they released it, I'm sure there's something in the contract where he would get more money. I don't know. Maybe there's that.
I'm drugging.
Some kind of NDA or not?
Snubber.
I don't know.
Bring him back in GTA 6 as like additional voices.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, who knows? Will he be in GTA 6?
Maybe.
I think they could do that with like some of their characters. Just like have them voice like random civilians or people you take jobs from.
No. I think they should do their own character. That'd be sweet. You know, like, yeah. You know, Trevor's, it's a side mission, you know, but, you know, Trevor's delivering something via plane and you have to, you know, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Who knows? I mean, you can't have Ray Liotta do it again because he's dead.
Yeah, that's
Ray Liotta's dead.
Michael Madsen, you remember?
You
Michael
Ray Liotta died?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Let's see. Ray Liotta died May of last year. Or May of 22, excuse me, 2 years ago. He's been gone forever. No, I'm just kidding.
Breaking news on
let's wrap it up right there. I think that's a good one to end on. Thank you so much for sticking with us for this episode. We do appreciate it. We start every Wednesday about 9 o'clock. You can watch us do the recorded version of this live on Facebook as you're watching now, or as you're listening to it right now on the podcast, because after we're done doing this, you could download the podcast anywhere you download podcasts. You can listen to it on your own sweet time, in your own sweet car, in your own sweet. That's where we're at. Yes. Gamefixshow.com is where to get all the information and everything that is pretty much us. Social media, you name it, Patreon, everything's there. Please go check that out, guys. Anything you want to say before we leave?
Alien Romulus comes out this week.
Yes,
on Alien Day.
When's Alien Day?
4/26.
Why is that Alien Day?
Because LV-426 was the planet from Alien.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from the first
that one. I didn't know. Okay. It's game over, man. Game over. Right. Well, there's only one left to do, and it's your world. Pay attention.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
I love you.
Later, bub.
Adios, turd nuggets.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.